March 2006 from Scribd website Spanish version. Did you know that all the world's most ancient monuments line up with the star systems Orion, Leo and Draco? Giza. The Egyptian pyramids are in the exact shape of the Orion constellation. Luminance reflected in the size of each pyramid, the central, once hidden and secret, shafts of the Great Pyramid all point to Orion, Sirius, Draco, Leo. You might think that the Sphinx is only 6,000 some odd years old, but it's not. Scientists now know that it's about 12,500 years old according to the physical wear of the rocks themselves from thousands of years of heavy rainfall weathering. Studies by John Anthony West and Professor Robert Schuck, Boston University. For the last few thousands of years, Egypt has been dry, so how did the rocks become so heavily weathered by rainwater? Not wind erosion. If you go back to 10,500 BC, you have your answers. If you follow the precession of the Earth, the slow wobble of the Earth over thousands of years around the North Star, you will notice that the Sphinx points right to the constellation Leo on the spring equinox of every year back around 12,500 years ago, 10,500 BC. These ancient sites have been rebuilt many times, following the ancient blueprint of the original creators of these monuments, so they are very ancient indeed. Today the Sphinx currently points to Taurus, the bull, every spring equinox. So why is the Sphinx not a bull? Because it was most likely built in 10,500 BC, not 4 to 6,000 years ago. Angkor. The ancient temples in Cambodia have this exact same phenomena. They are built around an exact representation of the Draco constellation itself. Star for star, an exact representation of the heavens done with a precision that no human on Earth today with all the technology we have can duplicate. And the temples all point to this same constellation, Draco the Dragon, on the equinoxes of about 12,500 years ago, when they were first built. How many times have these ancient temples been rebuilt in order to maintain the message for humanity which we are still uncovering? There is an underwater ancient monument in Japan which also links to this chain of 10,500 BC. And as we shall soon see, so will the recent discovery of the ancient pyramids off the coast of Cuba. Orion, Sirius, Leo and Draco, the dragon, the cornerstones, corner stars, of the ancient world on Earth in 10,500 BC. No matter where you might look in the ancient world, you will come across this same strange coincidence. If you are still of the thinking that it was Roswell where the first contact was made, that's what I call media think. It's easier to believe that Project Blue Book and other military science projects have only had ET contact recently and are just covering that up in the last 50 or so years, which is clearly not the case. ET contact goes way back into the ancient world. That's a mightily long time. How did I end up on this strange site? Do you believe in coincidence? I don't, but I do experience synchronicity constantly. I know you are here for a reason. Whether you came here by my handing you a card with this URL on it, or whether you happened to find me on your own, or whether a friend directed you here, or if you heard me on a recent radio interview, this path is yours alone to accept truth or pretend that this cannot possibly be real. Denial is not just a river on the Giza Plateau, however. By whatever means you ended up here on my page, it would be out of fear of the unknown that you would turn back now. Please, friend, do not be afraid of what you find here. It's just information. Follow your own reality and research to discover truth, but you will find out eventually that I am correct anyway. I get emails all the time from those who once mocked me years ago, and they attempt to say they are so very sorry for such offenses against my name and research. However, what's past has already been done. I mean you no harm, only to share with you as you rediscover yourself as I have rediscovered my own self. Please let me explain what I mean. Welcome to the outermost edge of the Matrix. The age that you are living in right now is the time that the ancient Mayans, Aztecs, Shaman and many other ancient cultures spoke of, 1987 to 2012 AD, the harmonic convergence. The end of time as we know it. This was taught to the humans in that time by a plumed serpent, reptilian entity, named Quetzalcoatl. One form of reptilian species has been evolving right alongside the human race since recorded history, and they have been interbreeding with us on regular intervals ever since time began for the human race. What would be their motivation for this behavior? Curiosity? Or perhaps a certain dependency on keeping humans as captives for some yet misunderstood purpose? We shall see as we unravel this secret tale and expose it to the light of truth. A segment of the Dead Sea Scrolls, from the Testament of Amram. I saw watchers in my vision. Two beings were fighting over me, saying, and holding a great contest over me. I asked them, "Who are you, that you are thus empowered over me?" They answered me, "We have been empowered and rule over all mankind." They said to me, "Which of us do you choose to rule you?" I raised my eyes and looked. One of them was terrifying in his appearance, like a serpent, his cloak many-colored yet very dark. And I looked again, and in his appearance, his visage like a viper. It's all about DNA manipulation and spiritual vision. This encounter that Amram speaks of sounds like more of an interdimensional contact than a classic ET encounter. Since 1987, the vibratory rate, Earth's Schumann resonance frequency of 7.83 Hz, has been on the rise after a very long period of stability, and it's heading for a multidimensional peak around 2012. 14 Hz peak. The Mayan calendar, with its most incredible accuracy, pinpoints 2012 as the end of a grand cycle of energy for humans and all life in this dimension. The veil lifts between our world and their world by 2012. Human DNA is re-evolving back into its original form against the will of those in power. Other ETs who live amongst us right now are also mixing their DNA into our own to resist this shift in paradigm as they fear losing control of humans in general. After living here as a human for so long, at times I understand their fears all too well. This planet is mid-shift right now. The vibratory rate of our sun has changed incredibly since 1991. Its magnetic poles have flipped over, causing massive solar upheaval. Time is speeding up, and the battle for the human soul is on. This shift is completely natural and happens on a regular occurrence. Babies who are born with AIDS can now heal themselves of this disease with their new superimmune systems due to these extra DNA strands. It's incredible what these newborn humans can do. They are more like ETs than humans. Nikola Tesla said, "Everything in the universe resonates at its own frequency, yet they all relate on a harmonic scale to each other. Understanding my work means understanding the key to the universe, resonance." Paraphrase. Universal existence is like a song, with rhythm and harmonics, and it's going upwards one octave right now. The darkest aspect of the universe, aka satanic influence, has entered our reality here on Earth and has been running the show for some time now, since the last precession cycle. From within each and every individual who finds themselves focusing on chaotic control and destruction of others through fear. Ordoab chaos. Illuminati / Masonic phrase. Whether it be for the death of free will or the death of the body, this dark thought form comes from the same inner place called fear. It has infested every aspect of our way of life, and the life of otherworldly beings as well. It is a virus in the program, a cancer if you will, and does not represent the race, culture or physical bodies of those who have become infected. Humanity is a hybrid ET race. Compare their natural behaviors with that of natural animals of Earth. Who's behaving more like a cancer? The animals? Or the humans who live in fear, killing their own kind needlessly? The NWO is very real and has dark, sinister plots which go back as far as the ancient world and beyond to the stars and other dimensions where it began. Its key power is fear, sadly. How can this be so? I'll answer that with the words of Janet Swerdlow. How can a small group of beings gain control over a large group of beings without the large group even knowing that they are controlled? At first glance, this sounds like an outlandish and preposterous idea that this even could be done, much less is done. But, take a look at this small, tight-knit group. They have every physical need met. They do not have the outside distractions of the average human. They do not have to think or worry about food, shelter, income, and/or family stability. The wealth stays in the hands of these self-selected few. Their wealth gives them the power to create. Their wealth gives them the time to do it, as well as global access to all known resources. Now imagine this global collective of powerful beings having interdimensional affiliations with ET consciousness. Getting chills down your spine yet? You should be. Add to the mix a fear-based mindset and presto. Big problems. The Draco are here and we're not going to be able to understand them with our additional fear of their physical appearance or their secret control. Just picture yourself as a golden ancient warrior when you encounter any form of ET. Stand in your truth of compassion and love, be fearless of the future, no matter what it looks like. You are looking directly in that moment at your own fate made manifest, best to make a new friend than a new enemy. Picture of a Masonic hall, click image to enlarge, inside and out. Rent the film Eyes Wide Shut if you want a good example of how this fear-based type of situation plays out on a day-to-day basis. Could things really have turned out any different? Did you know that almost every single elected government official is a Freemason or Skull and Bones member? Don't you find that just a little strange? Coincidence? Did you also know that most of the US presidents are related to two single ancient royal bloodlines? Meaning that they might seem to have different last names, but every single time it's the person with the most royal genes who gets elected. Think about it. Elections are a scam, just look at G.W. Bush. If it were actually possible to vote out secret society members, it would be illegal to do so. This is not just a situation which operates in the USA, it's happening in every country. They are lying to us and we just sit back and eat it up as we watch the TV pumping our minds with a fake reality. Dare you to try to run for president and see what happens. Grave robbing is not the least of Skull and Bones crimes. Many may find it interesting that initiates also drink wine/blood from a human skull. George W. Bush claims to be a born-again Christian, while John Kerry claims to be Roman Catholic, yet they will not answer any questions of their affiliation with this order. Bush's conversion came years after his senior year at Yale, i.e. while he was living in Midland, Texas in the mid-1980s. If his conversion is true, then why won't he publicly sever his ties with Skull and Bones? Instead, he gets nervous and annoyed when questioned about it. The American people, and in fact the whole world, is affected by this secret society through the right arm of the USA, have a right to know why this college fraternity is so secret that both candidates for the US presidency refuse to speak of it. Most importantly, does the oath to Skull and Bones supersede all previous and future oaths, as is common in occult organizations, such as the Presidential Oath of Office? I think it would matter to most Americans if Bush or Kerry placed their hands on their Skull and Bones pin, over their heart, as they take the oath as president. Which allegiance is stronger? Which comes first? To become a highest degree Freemason, illuminated 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite Lodge, you have to have family already in the lodge typically. A reference will only get you through the first 3 degrees, the blue degrees, and then you stop or get sidetracked along another path. If you are not a family member, then you cannot achieve the highest degrees. You have to have a certain strand of DNA in your body, the same strand, which connects all the way back to the ancient world, which ensures your position of power over the rest of humanity. Why? Only chosen bloodlines get this privilege. Which ones, you ask? The ones which have the reptilian DNA encoding. Dragon bloodlines, also known as the Anunnaki in the Sumerian texts. This is their duty on the earth, to manage humanity until the return of their gods from other star systems or dimensions. Their bloodlines go beyond Atlantis and ancient Egypt back in time to whole other worlds. How to control anyone at any time? This is how directed mind/media control is managed. The Hegelian dialectic is a technique commonly used to bring about a desired result. It is a three-step process as follows. Thesis, a problem is intentionally created. Antithesis, opposition to the problem is created. Synthesis, the desired result is brought in as a solution. An example of this was in Germany when Adolf Hitler wanted to pass anti-terrorist legislation. Hitler wanted the power to detain people without question and hold them in custody without a court hearing. The people of Germany wanted no such thing. So Hitler had the Reichstag building burned to the ground. He then blamed terrorists for this terrible crime. The media portrayed the event as a danger to society and people's welfare. The people demanded something be done, so Hitler introduced his new anti-terrorist legislation with the people's consent. I hope this method sounds familiar to you because it is used in all aspects and at all levels of society. Pay attention to the anti-terrorist legislation being passed due to terrorist incidents which are occurring today. The people who do not understand these things are simply being deceived and yet know it not. Quoted from a friend of mine. What's happening to your rights and freedoms right now? The Patriot Act. Remember this before you turn on CNN and watch the World Trade Center reactionists persuade your thoughts on this matter. Before you decide what the real cause of the shuttle disaster is, remember everything you've learned here. The 9/11 event is not what it seems. From what we can tell, a select group used a remote control system called Global Hawk to take over and steer the jets electronically on that terrible day. Then they used Tesla's HAARP, in Alaska, to pulse scalar waves at the buildings, turning the steel to jello. Why? To create fear and to enslave more NWO idealism into our world once again. Steel cannot melt at the temperatures that jet fuel burns at, period. A difference of more than 800 degrees. That's a truth that should keep you awake at night, dear research. Reptile wars. Different groups, cults, secret societies, legions, collectives, and even individuals are fighting over the right to run this planet their way. This is happening on every level, battle of the bloodlines. If this were not true, then we wouldn't hear of this from both sides in their attempt to expose the other side as evil. The Draco races which run one nation are against the Draco bloodlines of another nation, and so on, and so on. There's never a good reason for war. It's obvious that the so-called control of the human slave race is not working all that well, as we have learned so much from our controllers' mistakes. I truly wish things could be different. Only when all species decide to come together and make peace will there be true peace on this planet. There is no other way. If humans and reptoids continue to ignore this fact, both races will possibly die out during this shift in interdimensional frequency. Now is the time to realize that we are all one relation and not aliens to each other's genetic history. We are all mixed blood to varying degrees. Not to mention that souls travel from one side to the other in this great karmic cycle. To kill off the Draco is to kill of your own brothers and sisters as well, and vice versa. Stalemate. Then there are the Ancient Ones, not the Anunnaki, who are supposed to return to Earth shortly, the full-blood reptilians who are feared by the Anunnaki Draco races of Earth. It seems as if humans are being held hostage by the Draco. They are attempting to stop all open contact with the positive ETs who have already arrived on Earth and are here to help humanity. What a mess. Don't you just love all this unnecessary fighting? The following quote comes from a reptilian soul contact of mine who lives as a human on Earth presently as well. This message is so crucial for you to understand in your quest for a balanced truth. There are more than one race of reptilians involved in this war on Earth. Don't be fooled by single-mindedness. The Sumerian texts confirm that the elder gods or Anunnaki were, in fact, not the first gods on Earth. A race or races known as the Ancient Ones predated the arrival of the elder gods/Anunnaki. The Ancient Ones had come from the stars many eons earlier and had established an extremely advanced culture. The Anunnaki, although initially accepted and very technologically advanced themselves, subsequently caused immense problems after their arrival to Earth and a war broke out. It seems this was no small battle. Indeed, it changed the entire face of the Earth and irrevocably altered the course of life thereon. Note, the planet, Tiamat, was destroyed in this war, which we now call the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Mars began to lose its atmosphere, which affected everything on its surface eventually, in this war between the Anunnaki and the Ancient Ones. The Sumerian texts go on to say that the elder gods/Anunnaki produced/created mankind as a slave/workforce for them to own and control as a prize for their winning this war. That's you and me. Were these Anunnaki the legendary dragons as some have suggested, or do the legends of these magical creatures and their nebulous world refer to the ancient race that existed prior to the arrival of the Anunnaki? Were they eradicated/modified by this invasion/rebellion? There are many who view the Anunnaki genetic modifications on this planet as an upgrade to the race of beings existing on Earth at the time, but considering the overweening arrogance and warlike behavior of the Anunnaki themselves and of some of our world leaders, who claim to be their descendants through their affiliations with various secret societies such as the Freemasonic Lodge members, it makes one wonder. As a species, man has more genetic defects/diseases than any other. Was the Anunnaki gene manipulation an upgrade? Or was it in fact a downgrade? Strangely, it clearly states in the Sumerian texts that the genes of the commander of the army of the Ancient Ones combined with Anunnaki genes were used to create man. Sounds like evidence for the true story behind the fall from paradise in the Bible? It may be seen as odd that the Anunnaki would combine their own genes with that of their ancient enemy. However, it seems that they viewed this as some type of punishment or binding of the spirit of the Ancient Ones. According to Sumerian sacred texts, the elder gods, the Anunnaki, battled with and destroyed the Ancient Ones, and specifically Tiamat, their queen, the Ancient of Days, who is described as a great wicked serpent or mighty dragon. Also described are her many strange allies, serpent men, dragons, sphinxes, lion men, centaurs, dog men and scorpion men. The titanic battle raged for 10 years or more, laying waste to the earth and its inhabitants. The Anunnaki eventually won the battle and they divided up parts of the earth between them. It is only after this that humankind was created as a slave race. The Anunnaki were a race of warlords, for they often fought amongst themselves and involved humans in their endless power struggles and petty jealousies. Note, Jealousy is a dead giveaway as for the obvious differences between the different reptoid races. It has been said that the myths of centaurs, satyrs, unicorns, dragons, elves, etc. were the results of early genetic experiments of the Anunnaki, but the Sumerian texts state the creatures/monsters were allies of Tiamat. Were the original dragons/elves/fairy folk, in fact, the ancient ones spoken of in the texts? Did the Anunnaki destroy a civilization, the mythical land before time, before common reported time, and by tampering with genetic codes, attempt genocide on a global scale and deliberately conceal any memory of or reference to this civilization? Did they teach mankind wonders or did they just twist and pervert ancient wisdom? Note, some clues are contained in the Vatican secret archives. No doubt there were runaway slaves hidden in the caverns of the earth and also other survivors who had escaped the unwelcome attentions of the Anunnaki and their captive breeding programs. The texts tell us that there were renegade Anunnaki as well, and it's speculated that Enki himself may have returned to the underworld. From these came the myths of Hollow Earth, Simbala, Agartha, and legends of great treasures and mines guarded by the gnomes. Elves and others may have taken refuge in the mountains and forests and desolate places, giving rise to their own myths. As the world came more and more under the influence of the Anunnaki, many of these too may have fled below the surface. It is well documented that there are vast networks of tunnels and huge caverns beneath the earth, some caused by volcanic activity and some artificial in origin. Note, many military bases connect with these deep inner world systems. Many strange cults sprang from these stories, many of which persist to this very day, which in itself has caused much mischief. It appears these elder gods/Anunnaki were terrified of the ancient ones and dreaded their foretold return, fearing that they would reclaim the earth and take revenge on them. Note, but we have been treated so well by our leaders, whatever gave them anything to fear? For this reason they devised many magical and other occult diverse means to prevent this from occurring. Note, also military projects such as HARP, a global Tesla shield around the planet. After all, this would mean that the slave race that the Anunnaki had created, and who contained the genetic codes of the Ancient Ones might awaken after global contact with the Ancient Ones and seek their freedom. One can see why this would cause the Anunnaki overlords to be terror-stricken to lose their control over us and would necessitate stringent control measures be imposed on humanity. Thus was born religion and other hierarchical structures of control, suppression and subjugation. Note, science, paranormal organizations, and even New Age authors. And what of humans, the odd genetic consequence of all this meddling? Is this the reason why humanity seems to be suffering from collective post-traumatic stress disorder? As it says in the Sumerian texts, man is born of sadness, for he is of the blood of the ancient ones, but has the spirit of the elder gods breathed into him. And his heart goes to the ancient ones, but his mind is turned towards the elder gods, and this is the war which shall be always fought, unto the last generation of man, for the world is unnatural. Does this not imply that the previously understood natural order was disrupted in some fundamental way when the civilization of the ancients was destroyed? Is the famous cradle of civilization, in reality a coffin of a bygone golden age lost in the mists of time? We are told that civilization abruptly emerged 6,000 to 8,000 years ago in ancient Sumer, note, now known as Iraq, interestingly. Could it be that at that time everything was altered by belligerent beings with dubious intent and ruthless methods? In the texts the Anunnaki demonstrate their fear and hatred of the ancient ones, by describing them as crawling chaos and blaming them for all manner of hideous horror. But the texts also reveal the Anunnaki themselves, as a fierce, lustful, incestuous, bloodthirsty, deceitful, jealous and conquering race, with a vested interest in keeping their creations ignorant about their true origins. Note, oh yeah? Where's the proof? That being the case, we can speculate that the ways of the ancient ones were diametrically opposed to those of the Anunnaki. Were the ancient ones aware of and did they utilize chaos theory and the fractal nature of consciousness in the creation of their forgotten world? And humanity, blissfully unaware of all this for the most part, still struggles on living the lies and bearing the terrible karmic burden of these unspeakable deeds. In conclusion, it is also written in the very same Sumerian texts. Know that Tiamat seeks ever to rise to the stars, and when the upper is united to the lower, then a new age will come of earth, and the serpent shall be made whole, and the waters will be as one. Source, Draco S., name withheld for reasons of privacy. I can tell you from first-hand experience that reptilian researchers are battling it out right now in this arena. This truly is reptile wars. It seems that many, if not all, reptilian researchers are under some kind of influence in their behavior and attitudes towards each other. Is this evidence of a higher force toying with humanity? This really makes me angry. Why? Because nothing can be accomplished as long as there is this massive amount of infighting and personal slander going on, which means all this research is in vain and quite probably somewhat controlled. Unfortunately, I have been dragged right into the center of this mess due to my openness about my identity as a multidimensional being. I came here to make a difference for the positive. My motives are open for all to see. I act on peace, not warmongering. Warmongers don't preach peace, they blame others for their problems as the enemy to destroy. General frustrations with humanity from those who are awake are normal, but not to the point where suggestions to kill off entire species are the suggested answer. It's completely arrogant to suggest such a thing. Be aware that extreme amounts of trickery exist in this field, and many reptilian researchers will do their best to slander each other behind their backs. Before the fall of humanity, a whole other world was once here on Earth, long ago, which today would be completely unrecognizable. It used to be more like Star Wars back in the days of Atlantis, but that time is long gone, yet may soon return. One method was to rule for control of sex, money and the physical pleasures and entertainment, pure indulgence. Sound familiar? CIA and the porn industry preying upon a sexually starved culture out of balance within itself. The other was to rule by spiritual enlightenment and higher understanding primarily. This was written down in Sumerian text as the battle between Enki and Enlil, two reptilian brothers. The final battle, which tore a hole in space-time, permanently damaging human DNA, happened back in Atlantis. Read Edgar Cayce for the details. The sons of Belial, physical pleasures, seem to have been running the show ever since, while the survivors of the Law of One have been attempting to regain control by calling upon their ET contacts for help this whole time, and once again these laws of non-interference have gotten in the way of assistance for humanity, and here we are as a result. Many diverse cultures survived this great catastrophe and global upheaval, but only just barely. Most of this ancient world is now long forgot as we marvel over the wonders of the world. In Africa and in other surviving cultures, they have always had knowledge of the star Sirius B, a star that we couldn't even see until the advent of very powerful telescopes. How did they know of this world, and why were they so influenced by this invisible star? They also speak of the planet Tiamat that was destroyed, which we now call the asteroid belt, between Mars and Jupiter. They also say that Mars once had life on it which was transplanted on Earth. The blonde hair, blue-eyed form in particular, don't believe that one? Science has said life on Mars was possible due to the evidence of massive amounts of magnetite, organic brain component, presently discovered on Mars, as well as the massive amounts of evidence for ancient oceans. Who lived there? Where did they go? Evidence of a previous catastrophe would be the planet-wide surface crack several times larger than the Grand Canyon, Vias Marineris, and the volcano, Olympus Mons, larger than Mount Everest by several times over. Science seems to be discovering that this was not from the planet's formation, but an event which happened later on, more recently. Vias Marineris, Olympus Mons. Not to mention the face and pyramids on Mars of the Cydonia region of Richard Hoagland fame. Q. How could this happen? A. One possibility is Planet X, Nibiru or Nemesis, which is a dark star, brown dwarf or black sun, which orbits between deep space, well past Pluto, and Mars, that returns here about every 3,600 to 30,000 years or so, causing massive flooding, the effects of magnetism and gravity on the ocean and ecosystems, and global weather changes. Little is known about Nibiru except for what's written in, once again, the Sumerian texts. Some cultures have survived with this ancient knowledge intact. Imagine, if you will, a planet as dense and large as Jupiter swinging around the Earth faster than anything known to us currently. Yes. 200-foot-high waves would now seem very probable, and indeed the many ancient texts speak of exactly this fact. Noah and the Great Flood, for instance. The Sun is also severely affected by this massive sun-sized giant and its massive magnetic field, which we have been witnessing since about 1991, as our Sun has completely changed. When shall Nibiru return? No one has seen it yet, but its effects seem to be happening right now all around us and are increasing every day. Whitley Strieber and Art Bell's The Coming Global Superstorm is a great book on this subject. Too much to be true? How about a scientific study report on the subject for now? It would seem that we, at the very least, lost an inner battle to some very dark astral entities who enslaved us on Earth, And we are the survivors of that ancient war. Atlantis and power over humans is a common corporate theme in their secret symbology and logos. These aliens have been hiding in the fourth dimension, lower astral, ever since, the pit or hell in the Bible, manipulating us with fake religions and limited science so they can maximize their time playing with our spiritual limitations and muck about with our DNA, through alien abductions, and the grid energies of the planet even further and milk human energy for all it's worth, just like in the movie They Live. They steal our true history from us and hide it in their Vatican archives. By now you've watched the movie Matrix, so you already have some idea what we are up against here. I also hope some of you remember the TV miniseries called V. All good and varied examples of near-probable futures we'll have to face sooner or later. As our planet increases its vibrational frequency, these, often reptilian-looking, entities are finding it almost impossible to maintain their alternate human form. This entire struggle is being watched very closely right now by many diverse beings, worlds and entities beyond our current ability to sense them. Other beings, sometimes referred to as the ancient astronauts, are returning to Earth also, but not before we prove ourselves worthy. That we can rid this world of certain evil, hateful behaviors from within ourselves, such as passive-aggressive carelessness about our fellow people, neo-Nazism against our own people and fear-based reactions to the truth, etc., we must rid our planet of the dark shadow beings which now inhabit every aspect of power in both government and secret societies. This is how the secret controllers of this planet have gotten away with their dastardly deeds and high-level secrets, black projects like Area 51, Dulce Secret Underground Base, the Philadelphia Experiments, Montauk, HARP, etc., for so long. Many of these people in power aren't even human by our civilian terms, but are more aliens in nature. They have deep interdimensional connections. We see only their physical body rather than their true form. Well, not for much longer, I can assure you. More and more humans are waking up to the fact that reptilian entities are being witnessed by hundreds of people, far and wide, in positions of power or influence in this world, and that these beings can shimmer between forms at will. And I'm not talking just about the research that David Icke has exposed either. It's getting harder and harder with the Earth's raising vibrational frequency for these aliens to maintain human form, and they are being seen more and more every day. After all, they can't control a people who discover that they have not truly been free for over 12,500 years or longer, but rather have been used by psychic energy vampires as livestock. Important fact. Not all reptilians act this way, just a rogue group of beings who are here amongst us, and not even all of them agree with this plan for total control. In fact, many reptilians are doing something about this right now. We are all individuals, human or otherwise. The great battle from within is here and now. However, spiritual possession is still a problem and can turn entire leagues of beings into zombified hive-minded oppressors. This is the toughest part. It's this particular reptilian DNA code that many secret societies desire to keep in power in order to maintain contact with these interdimensional, fourth dimension, entities, who donated their reptilian DNA to humanity eons ago. Please note. Group mind is like a communal collective of consenting individuals, almost telepathic in nature. Hive mind is more like one mind controlling the entire lot, often with a secret agenda. Gifted psychics can see us ET incarnate souls easily. There is no such thing as death, there never was. Energy never dies, it just changes form. Look at all the cases of near-death, NDE/OBE, encounters from all over the world and you will see that this is so. Look into the writings of Daniel Brinkley or Edgar Cayce and you will see this truth. Many alien souls have reincarnated as human to assist in this shift in consciousness. We have sought each other out after going within and listening to our inner light, which reminded us of our destiny. We are a collective of individuals from all over and beyond who share a common love. Love and free will. We come and go as we please from form to form, planet to planet, dimension to dimension. I must say that of all the worlds I have rested upon, this one, this time is by far the most frustrating and confusing. To be born here, blinded by birth is no comfortable start to this life, as I'm sure you well know. Going within, deep inside your soul, you too have found answers to your path this life, and your own unique lessons and choices. Once again I say that this human body is merely my vessel and is not me. If I could go back and change my mind about incarnating as human, believe me, I would never have come here. It's far worse than I had thought. Indeed, I was ill-prepared for the reality of being hated by one's own people, humans, for an entire lifetime, perpetually. It hurts me greatly, and I hurt every single day of my life for speaking out about who I truly am. Once I chose to begin, there was no turning back, as I'd be failing myself if I did. I can be so terribly lonely for my home at times that I cry for hours to depart from this self-destructive and hate-filled world. I hate to feel this pain and suffer so much while living here and being so powerless to help others who are so hate-filled towards myself and others like me, but I can only do my best to continue. I really hope you feel this deep within your heart and understand what I say to you right now. I am a peaceful soul, of that there is no doubt. Let me give you an easy example of how these interdimensional beings operate. Imagine being a radio, try to anyway, locked onto only one signal due to years of genetic, hardware, manipulation from long ago, blind to the existence of other stations or signals, yet they are just as real, just as physical. All you are aware of is one reality, the visual one, and anything outside of that reality just doesn't exist, period. It's easy to stay in power with abilities that simply do not exist to us, that seem like science fiction and conspiracy theory. You can't see radio waves, yet you are told they exist, and have accepted this as your reality through years of working with these energies utilizing tools such as radio and TV receivers. Very simple. It's very easy to dismiss something that someone says is real when the listener, i.e., you, does not even know about such things. You might think these stories out of this world at first until you become educated in otherworldly affairs and the science which proves the existence of other dimensions. Cosmic string theory is old news to interdimensional beings. These interdimensional controllers and their great work appears like magic to us because we don't know any better. Natives dazzled by a simple matchstick. Take UFOs for instance, are they truly from another star system? Or are they from somewhere much closer, a parallel dimension? To the interdimensional beings, it's a simple science of control. All that is about to change though. Scientists have admitted that the appearance of physical density is just an illusion, and in fact we are all living, evolving patterns of energy. Now at last science is catching up to what the remaining native shaman always knew. We are actually 90% empty space and use only 10% of our genetic code as well as our brains. What if the rest of our DNA was switched back on? We'd suddenly see/feel and live with the rest of the beings that also inhabit the same space as us right now. By the law of energy movement, the remaining 90% of us could carry the other 10%, our physical selves, to other levels, or states, of being/resonance, including travel to other worlds. Ever hear the description of a UFO's interior? There was a complete lack of knobs or physical controls. Only a central core which could hold some unknown type of energy was even visible. Think about that one a minute, No knobs or controls? Who needs them if your mind takes you where you want to go, right? Project Blue Beam. For years this rogue black budget team has been perfecting the projection of hologram technology in the form of UFO sightings. Some of these sightings are reported on UFO witness programs to catalog and monitor the public's readiness for a staged alien invasion. Remember, some ships' UFOs are shot down by the military using HARP. They use the massive amount of particulates in the atmosphere to bounce lasers off of, which in turn draw a UFO in the air itself. Mexico City has been the hotbed of sightings due to its high level of usable particulates within this hologram technology. Now the chemtrails have reduced visibility to one-fifth the former level on a worldwide scale. The stage has been set now for global use. Project Bluebeam can make these objects appear solid, and many are drawn during the day to enhance the effectiveness of public reaction. If these objects become a threat, the planned reaction is to band the planet's people together under one world government to fight off the alien invaders. Remember that this plan goes way back, long before Ronald Reagan's big speech at a televised United Nations meeting. I often wonder if our differences, worldwide, would vanish if we were faced with an alien threat from outside this world. And I ask you now, is not an alien force already among us? Remember that one? Think about it. It's part of a global agenda. Of course these officials talk about all this stuff, constantly. Clinton, Bush, you name it, they deal with it. They engineered many black budget organizations to deal with these subjects. NSA, CIA. Global warming affects our entire solar system? Planets not to scale. Sun. More activity since 1940 than in previous 1,150 years. Expected solar cycles out of sync. More coronal mass ejections with far greater intensity. Outermost reaches of magnetic field demonstrates that our entire solar system is entering some kind of active plasma particle cloud. Mercury. Unexpected polar ice discovered, along with a surprisingly strong magnetic field. Venus. 2,500% increase in auroral brightness, and substantive global atmosphere changes in less than 30 years. Earth. New Van Allen radiation belt, May 1998. Magnetic field displays increased instability. Mars. Unexpected global warming, huge storms, disappearance of polar ice caps. Jupiter. Over 200% increase in brightness of surrounding plasma clouds. Saturn. Major decrease in equatorial jet stream velocities in only 20 years, accompanied by surprising surge of X-rays from equator. Uranus. Massive changes in brightness, increased cloud activity. Neptune. 40% increase in atmospheric brightness. Pluto. 300% increase in atmospheric pressure, even as Pluto recedes farther from the Sun. Source: NASA and other space observatories worldwide. More information: Planetophysical State of the Earth and Life. All of these atmospheric and auroral changes are caused by magnetic changes from within each planet, which is triggered by our own sun's recent changes. Global warming is not limited to the Earth presently, and we know that our levels of pollution here on Earth are obviously not affecting Pluto's magnetic field or orbital path, so this whole blame game on human pollution as the cause just doesn't add up. Crop circles, aponoistos. Recently, a crop circle researcher decided to go so far as to carve out the words, "Talk to US," in a nearby field where many agriglyphs are formed on a regular basis near Stonehenge in England. The response was staggering. A crop circle appeared which was in the form of ancient Freemasonic secret text, and it read, "Aponoistos." Translation of this 800-year-old secret Masonic text is, "We are opposed to cunning and deceit." How's that for strange? Another appeared shortly after that one which read, "This is the place of the serpent." What do you think they're attempting to tell humanity? About the same time there were a series of agriglyphs which were an exact match of the designs of Nikola Tesla's research patents. What do you think these messages mean? Time to wake up, dear sleeper, and put the pieces together. All of the pieces. A Council for Peace has been established for Contact Day, CORA, the Council on Human-Reptilian Allegiance. Those of us who have collected together within this group know that not all reptilians are evil, rather both good and evil exists in all beings, human and non-human. We have worked on realistic solutions to these global problems before this becomes another war. We are prepared and awaiting Contact Day now with hopeful hearts so that CORA can fulfill its destiny. Knowledge is power, ignorance can be fatal bliss. I have written a book, still being compiled and edited, about my personal experiences in the above subjects, including my own reptilian contact story, which started me on my journey so long ago. And I'm just getting started still. I have also created many groups, organizations and lists where many of you have shared your own adventures with me in a collective effort to regain what we once had. This site has seen many different phases of my research. Many of you have also shared with me your own reawakening stories, to which I am very thankful. It's nice to see so many awake spirits on Earth right now, because at times there are so few truly enlightened people at all, it's damn depressing for me to wake up most days. Silence is not the answer to change one's reality. Action is the true path of the spiritual warrior. Action is your sword of truth and love is your ship to carry you forward. Be brave, pass this page on to those who you feel are able to deal with this information and who can respect others, and mostly themselves enough to not just read this, but who can bypass their ridicule programming and understand what is really going on and to act like a mature adult, a mentally balanced, spiritually activated species. It's never easy to express one's inner self with any great ease, so I will use another analogy. Please rent the movie Final Fantasy if you desire to see an example of what I'm attempting to communicate with you. It's about spirit, hope, peace and inner strength to face the future under some amazing circumstances, but most of all it's about waking up to a new paradigm from within each and every one of us, a new world begins. Constant danger. Why do I sacrifice myself thusly, giving up a more normal life for one of personal danger, great risk and many sleepless nights? Why bother to remember anything about my spiritual past? Why observe these patterns and changes in the world? Why bother to help any of you with what I know? Good question. The thing is, I'm doing IT, not sitting around and discussing or debunking what others are doing. Plus, it's a known fact that the more I share this type of information with you, the better chances we all have of making global contact with my people or any positive ET race out there somewhere. I can't wait for the day when massive ships fill the skies and I can show you what we have all been speaking of for years now, but until that day happens, I'm stuck here living as one of you whether I like it or not. Get used to me, I'm a terribly verbal punk lizard and I'm rather proud about my personal liberations in all avenues of life, and I'm even more proud of my spiritual connections to my homeworld. Nothing can come between myself and my people, nothing. Please don't engage their wrath if you chose to attack us in any way. I've witnessed people vanish or worse for attacking me openly, even verbally. We protect our love for each other by whatever means we chose, be warned. I struggle with many unseen things daily. I am up against the Illuminati themselves, and am harassed at almost every turn in various ways, sometimes daily, yet I survive, because my heart is pure and my path is true. I feel no need to attack those who do not attack myself of my people. I don't trust easily, even though I want to trust. I consider us all connected to the source/creator or God at the highest level of existence, so as I am helping you, I am also helping myself. This is called the Law of One, which goes all the way back to Atlantis, before the great fall of man. I am all things, as are you. I am my own ET contact back in the past and she is me now, today. I have been beaten physically, emotionally and yes, even spiritually, at times by people I formerly trusted, in their attempt to silence my work. I have learned to keep my distance from many strangers as a result of abused trust, yet I persist on my spiritual path. Earth humans are very dangerous, that's the bottom line. Opinions can ruin someone's life, like they have mine, because humanity still childishly behaves like a brat that might as well deserve the spanking that it's about to receive. Humanity thrives on being cruel towards others at times. They are no different than the Draco reptilians for the most part, although don't say that to a human's face. My very existence threatens many right here in Vancouver, Canada, to the point where they are constantly making death threats towards myself and my friends. How pathetic can they get? Related information. Could advanced dinosaurs rule other planets? Study suggests alien worlds could be full of super intelligent dinosaurs. Welcome to our new lizard overlords.